Our scripture this morning from the Old Testament is a responsive reading. It's a reading from Psalm 131, and I'd ask that you would join me responsively as we read. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. The word of our Lord. There is a bumper sticker that reads, dogs have owners, cats have staff. Cats have staff. Now, my husband and I have two cats that we love. They are rescue kittens from the big flood of 2004 that went through the Suwannee Valley. And maybe because they were raised in that time of floodwaters and hunger, they are intensely focused around feeding time, more so than any cat I've ever had. As feeding time approaches, the cats began to get more vocal and loud and pacing and competing for our attention, and it gets to the place we cannot even think, we can't hear ourselves think. But the moment we feed them, the house is quiet. The cats are relaxed. I have calmed and quieted my soul, writes the psalmist. Those of you who have held a baby when it is hungry know the sounds of its cries. Without words to be able to say, I'm hungry, they began crying louder and louder, intensely, and they are inconsolable until the food arrives. But once they are fed, there is a peace and sounds of contentment and cooing. I have calmed and quieted my soul, writes the psalmist. And in the same way, if you've been around a young child who is overly tired, who is past their bedtime, who is fussing and fighting with all their might not to fall asleep, and suddenly sleep overtakes them, and there is a peace, and all you hear is the breathing in and the breathing out. The struggle is over, and they are at rest. I have calmed and quieted my soul, writes the psalmist. Psalm 131 that we read responsively focuses on this image of a young child, a child in his or her mother's arms, a child that is not crying out in hunger or tiredness. It is not grasping or struggling, but is simply at rest. It is a weaned child, a child who is filled and needs nothing from its mother except to be in her presence. The psalm lifts up this image, this peaceful rest, as one of the ways to be in God's presence. I have calmed and quieted my soul, writes the psalmist. But it doesn't say in the psalm that it is the only way to be in God's presence. The psalms express a wide range of emotions. The previous Psalm 130 begins, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Psalm 22, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But also Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Psalms of joy and laughter, psalms of desperation and grief and anger and hunger and trust, praise and peace. It's all in there. The Psalms were the songs, the hymn book of the Israelite community. They were sung in worship just like we sing our hymns or as people walked on their journeys. Psalm 131 is a specific type of song, a specific type called a song of ascents. And what that meant, it was sung on the road, sung traveling to Jerusalem on pilgrimage or for a high holy day, sung as you walked up the ascent, up the hill to the temple. This pilgrimage to Jerusalem was a family affair with parents and children and sometimes all clans and villages traveling together on the road for days on end and weeks on end. And they would sing together. Psalms 120 through 134, of which Psalm 131 that we read is in there, are all songs of ascent. These psalms were sung on the journey together. They were short. They were memorizable. They had a range of emotions and struggles of faith. They spoke about family things, since there were men and women and children all traveling together. And some scholars say that the psalm that we read together was sung by women and their children, the children they were holding it around them as they went into the temple together. Hence the verse, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. In the same way, Psalm 128 may have been sung by fathers and Psalm 123 by servants. Different parts of the community traveling together, each with their own story, their own song, all contributing as they journeyed together. The journey was one of the ways that the Israelite community shared their faith with the next generation. They nurtured their own spiritual lives. They embodied their faith by putting one foot in front of the other on this long journey to the temple. As they went on the road, they answered the questions of the children who asked, where are we going? And why are we going there? And when will we get there? And are we there yet? And as they walked along the way, the adults would tell stories. And they would share around the campfires at night about the trips they had been on before and the people that were no longer with them. And young parents on this journey would learn from seasoned grandparents. And everyone would store up their memories and their stories to take back to the village and tell the people who were no longer able to make that long walk. And so these short psalms, these songs of faith, were the way they taught each other theology and strengthened each other in their spiritual practice together. Psalm 131 that we read together is so short, but it's packed. It begins first with words of humility. My heart and my eyes are not lifted too high. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. In the Old Testament, things that were great and marvelous were the things of God. Great and marvelous were the things that God did and God was. So it's a way of saying, I know that I am not God, but I'm here in the presence of God and I am focused with my eyes and my heart right here. And then in verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child that is with me. Sometimes we are calmed and quieted because a need has been met, like hunger, like an illness that has been healed. Sometimes we are calmed and quieted because we are distracted by joy, like the sound of a child's laughter, or a beautiful sunset that makes us just stop and put everything into perspective. Sometimes we are calmed and quieted because we are just too tired to keep on struggling, like a child who falls asleep from exhaustion. And sometimes on our journey of faith, it is an act of will to say, I have calmed and quieted my heart. I have calmed and quieted my soul. It is an act of determined will and maturing faith to say and quiet our souls despite all that is going on around us. It is an act of courage to trust and rest in God's presence despite the chaos that is sometimes around us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks of the peace that he brings differing from the peace of the world. The peace that the world brings comes when the war ends and the stomach is filled and everything is as it is supposed to be. But the peace that Jesus brings comes even when the wars keep going and the stomach is gnawing and life is just plain complicated. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Like a maturing child, I am not grasping, I am not craving, but I am still. And it's not that the needs don't exist anymore, it's just that the desperation has been put off to the side. And this short psalm ends with the words of hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust not in the current reality, but that God is the God of our future. Our past, our present, our future, and we are in God's hands always. That's how it ends this very short psalm sung by the generations on their journey. Sung by the generations on their journey to Jerusalem, shaping their faith with the words. When we come forward to communion today, we are a little bit like that Israelite community taking a journey up to Jerusalem. We come down the aisles. We put one foot in front of the other. We are men and women, children, young and old. Some of us come with light steps, walking quickly. Some of us are carefully putting one foot in front of the other so we don't fall down. But we are coming to this table, remembering those who are no longer with us, singing our songs, remembering those who continue to shape our lives in this community of faith. And we come to the table bringing ourselves and all the realities that are our lives, the joys, the struggles, each with our own songs, our own stories. And sometimes we come hungry, physically hungry, spiritually hungry, hungry for justice. Sometimes we come in joy and in gratitude and laughter. Sometimes we come tired and plain in need of rest. And sometimes we come to this table as an act of will and a statement of faith, hoping even when our faith is shaky and the world is shaking around us. And our walk together as this family of faith is not only to this table, we walk together every time we meet, whether it is in a Sunday school class or a fellowship event or around a table eating or discussing something going on in outreach and in small groups, whether we are coloring or cooking or cleaning or hammering or playing together or just saying, I've got a question. It's all the journey of faith. It's all a journey of faith if we come listening to one another, if we come leaning on each other, if we come learning from each other, not lording our wisdom over others. That's what Jesus warned about in that passage from Matthew. Not lording our wisdom over others, but learning from each other as fellow students stumbling on this journey together. Asking the question of this stewardship season, what does the Lord require of us? Seeing how that plays out in our lives. And perhaps one of the answers to that question comes from Psalm 131. And it may be one of the hardest lessons for us to learn in this busy modern world. But maybe sometimes what we need most is simply to rest in God. To have the humility to know that we need to rest and be fed and be nurtured and be nourished. And that in resting in God, in that leaning on each other, then we will have the strength and the wisdom to seek peace. And the strength and the wisdom to love kindness in this world. And the strength and the wisdom to keep asking, what does the Lord require of us? So when we come to this table today, we come as the community of faith. We come together bringing each of our own stories, each of our own songs, each of our own experiences, sharing it with each other. And hearing that God loves us, that's what this meal is about. That God loves us and gives us a simple meal of bread and juice as nourishment for our ongoing journey. God is providing for us and reminding us of our dependence on God, the God who does great and marvelous things. The God who is providing for his children. For we will always be children of God no matter our age, 0 to 110, or beyond. We will always be children of God no matter our age or level of maturity. And God is the only one who can fill us to contentment. So if you'll take out your bulletin with me and let's read this psalm one more time. Coming into God's presence and rest. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Let us rest in God.